Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question and answer sessions of today's call. At that time, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, please disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Catherine Schon. You may begin. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Catherine Schon, the Senior Advisor on Trafficking in Persons here at the Administration for Children and Families at HHS, and we welcome all the participants who've joined us this morning for our fiscal year 2016 budget briefing call for anti-trafficking initiatives. The way we'll run the briefing call today, I'll provide an overview and introduce a number of colleagues here within the Administration for Children and Families, and then I'll turn it over to our Office of Legislative Affairs and Budgeting for a brief overview of the budget process. A few program offices will give an update on their latest programming on anti-trafficking efforts, and then we'll go into a period of answering some of the pre-submitted questions that participants provided, and then open it up to a wider question and answer session, time permitting. So with that, I wanted to just start in the room with me here, our colleagues across ACF, to just introduce themselves and the program or office they're representing, so you can recognize them when they're responding to some of the questions and providing summary remarks later on.
Good morning. This is Michelle Patterson. I am with the ACF Budget Office.
Good morning, this is Matthew, Director of the Division of Anti-Trafficking in Persons in the Office of Refugee Resettlement within ACF.
Good morning, everyone. This is Catherine Nolan, the Director of the Office on Child Abuse and Neglect in the Children's Bureau.
Hello, I am Rochelle Rollins. I'm a Human Trafficking Health Policy Advisor in the Immediate Office of Assistant Secretary.
And good morning. I'm Bill O'Rourke. I'm with the Office of Budget for ACF.
And then we also have a few colleagues joining us by phone. I will turn it over to colleagues from FSB first.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Good morning. This is Carol Bush, and I work with the Families and Youth Services Bureau.
And hi, this is Bill Bentley. I'm the Associate Commissioner at the Family and Youth Services Bureau.
And we also have another colleague from the Children's Bureau on the line.
Good morning. This is Rosie Gomez with the Office on Child Abuse and Neglect within the Children's Bureau.
Great. Did we miss
Jan? I don't know if Jan Schaefer.
Okay. Anyone else from Children's Bureau? Okay. So as you can see, over the years, we've been strengthening our response to human trafficking across multiple program offices. All 10 of our regional offices are engaged in anti-trafficking efforts, and we hope that the FY16 budget is also reflective of the diverse approach of integrating trafficking across multiple programs. And what I wanted to do with was just start off with an overview of the FY16 budget. And as you saw, as you were registering for this briefing call, there is about a $15 million proposal for new funding as part of the child abuse discretionary activities, and that's to develop a research base to serve victims of trafficking in the child welfare system and support the implementation of the Preventing Sex Trafficking and Strengthening Families Act, which was enacted last September. There is a total of $9 million representing or including an increase of $6.2 million compared to our FY 2015 enacted funding, and that is a proposal to expand our new domestic trafficking program, which we started in fiscal year 14, and that works to increase case management and direct assistance for victims and survivors of human trafficking who are U.S. citizens and lawful permanent residents, and also to support anti-trafficking research and evaluation and training and technical assistance. There is $13 million of total funds to support for national victims of trafficking in the ongoing programmatic efforts through the Office of Refugee Resettlement. And then you'll also see in the materials that were provided in the invitation to this call, there is language in the budget referencing foster care, implementing new anti-trafficking requirements for Title IV-E agencies as part of the Preventing Sex Trafficking and Strengthening Families Act. And at this time, I will turn it over to Michelle from our ACF budget office to give an overview of the budgeting process.
So I am the ACF budget analyst for the Refugee Resettlement Program, and the appropriations for the dedicated anti-trafficking funds are provided through the refugee program. That includes both the Foreign Victims Anti-Trafficking Office and now the newer Domestic Victims Anti-Trafficking Office. So that's sort of my area of expertise and what I will generally talk about today. I'm a budget analyst, not a program person, so the specifics are best left to Catherine and her folks, but I can sort of clarify for anybody who gets confused about the process how it works. For 2015, we got our appropriations bill in December, and for the refugee office, an increase of $2 million was given for anti-trafficking programs. A decision was made to split that equally between the domestic victims and the foreign victims. So that's the 2015 money that we're looking at right now. It's $13 million for foreign victims, $2.755 million for domestic. And Catherine, under her guidance, the program offices are working on implementing that right now, making decisions about grants, contracts, technical assistance, those sorts of things. What happened in February, just a couple weeks ago, was we released our 2016 request. Now, that is the key word. That is just a request. It is what the president has put forward to Congress and has said, I would like you to give me this amount of money. For the foreign victims, it is maintaining the 2015 level at $13 million. As Catherine mentioned, for domestic victims, there is a pretty good increase that has been requested, along with sort of the funds that come with the bigger child welfare programs in other parts of ACF. Now, with any sort of annual appropriations process, you can't count your chickens before they hatch. You can't count on this request being the amount of money that you're going to get for 2016. So while it is absolutely good government to talk about what we would like to do in 2016, please know that you could get $25 million, you could get $125 million, you could get $2 million, you could get nothing. So that's the sort of thing to bear in mind, is that while we are looking at a nice pot of money for the anti-victim programs, anti-trafficking victims programs, we don't have that money in hand.
And what was the request for 2016?
For 2016, for the foreign victims, it was an even $13 million flat from this year, and for the domestic victims, it was $9 million, which, as Catherine said, is $6 or $7 million above $14.
Right. Thank you.
Bill, would you like? Okay. All right. So at this time, thank you, Michelle. We will turn it over to some of our key program offices for any updates or announcements that they may want to provide in relation to anti-trafficking programming, starting with the Office of Refugee.
We have no current funding opportunities and opportunity announcements, but we are preparing an announcement to continue funding for the Trafficking Victim Assistance Program, which is our comprehensive case management assistance to foreign victims of trafficking in the United States. The funding goes to organizations which then are reimbursed, contract with subcontractors around the country who are reimbursed on a per capita basis, depending on how many victims of trafficking they are assisting, either to achieve certification or for a period of time after certification to help them get connected to benefits and services that are available to refugees, the same benefits and services. In this past fiscal year, we awarded 18 grants under the Rescue and Restore Regional Program. Those are three-year grants, so the next funding opportunity will come in FY17. And our other major program is we fund the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, which is a 24/7 hotline. That is in the second year of a three-year grant. Thank you.
Thank you, Maggie. Now turning it over to our colleagues at the Family and Youth Services Bureau.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Again, good morning. This is Carol Bush with FISB. And we currently do have a trafficking program that funds three grants who are in Utah, New York, and Arizona for comprehensive and coordinated case management. That is a two-year project, which ends September of next year. We also have a funding announcement that is coming out in the next 2 months or so, which will have a case management focus, but we're still trying to work out some details, so I can't give out too much. But we will have a second funding announcement coming out in the fall of this year.
It's also important to know, this is Bill Bentley, it's also important to know that we are working in concert with Catherine Chun and Julian Chang, who are my colleagues in the immediate office of the Assistant Secretary and the Children's Bureau. So we're excited about the possibilities of learning more about what services and approaches work best for this population.
Well, thank you, Bill and Carol, for the readout from the Family and Youth Services Bureau. Now turning it over to the Children's Bureau.
Good morning. This is Rosie Gomez again. And on September 30th of 2014, the Children's Bureau funded a grant program titled Grants to Address Trafficking Within the Child Welfare Population. So for this grant program, we funded 9 grants at $250,000 a year, and it's a 5-year project period. The purpose of these grants is to really continue the development of child welfare systems' response to human trafficking, and we really wanted to focus on infrastructure building and the multi-system approach with various partners. So these partners included local law enforcement, juvenile justice, court systems, runaway and homeless youth programs, Children's Justice Act grantees, child advocacy centers, and other necessary service providers. So the grantees are required to work very closely with child welfare agencies, but we understood in their planning that other organizations also had expertise in trafficking, so we wanted to open the application process to more than just child welfare agencies. So we are pleased that the 9 grantees include, in addition to child welfare agencies, universities, faith-based organizations, nonprofit organizations, and courts. The 9 grantees are located in 9 different states: California, Massachusetts, Arizona, Washington, Florida, North Carolina, Louisiana, Maryland, and Connecticut. And you can see a list of the grantees on our Children's Bureau website. So we are very excited about the work that these grantees plan to do, and we really look forward to learning more about how to best improve child welfare's response to human trafficking. And at this time, we don't currently have any open grant announcements.
Great. Thank you, Rosie. And the Administration for Native Americans, they're not on our call with us today, but they do have an open funding opportunity announcement for their Social and Economic Development Strategies grants. And starting in fiscal year 2015, Native American community programs were able to put in proposals for anti-trafficking activities. Actually, that started in 2014. So the current 2015 proposals are due March 4th, so next month, and 2016 proposals are due March 4th of 2016. And so for any stakeholders on the call working with Native American communities, please know that there are those deadlines coming up for that particular funding opportunity. And then in terms of other future funding, of course, please know that HHS has a funding forecast schedule that's available online if you want to see what's coming down the pipeline. And other federal agencies also support anti-trafficking programming, and you can visit grants.gov to see what other opportunities are available. So with that, I'm going to just start us off with the question and answer period for the pre-submitted questions. We received about 14 of them. I'll read off the questions and then defer to some of our program offices to provide responses. So the first question that we received was, will the domestic funds only be used for children or adults as well? And for that, I'll turn it over to the Family and Youth Services Bureau.
Okay. This is Carol Bush. For the FSBE funding, the funds will be for both children and adults. Now, as far as children, we don't have a baseline number, so we do have programs who are targeting teens and youth. But, yes, we will have funds available for both children and adults.
Great. And related to that, will the domestic funds be used for domestic labor trafficking as well?
Yes. We're not excluding the funds for this sex trafficking. So whatever services those victims need, whether they're victims of sex, labor, or both, they can be served if they're domestic victims.
Okay. The third question, will the child abuse discretionary funds be used to address sex trafficking and labor trafficking? And for that, I'll turn it over to the Children's Bureau.
So, yes, we're always interested in addressing both sex trafficking and labor trafficking, so our discussions will always plan to address both forms of trafficking.
Thank you, Rosie.
In the current program that we fund, states are addressing both forms.
You mean with the current 9 grants, Rosie?
Yes.
All right. The next question we received was, why do the new bills on human trafficking not include labor trafficking, domestic servitude, and adult victims of trafficking? So we wanted to respond to that question. I believe the question was referencing back in January, the House passed 12 bills related to human trafficking, and most of it was addressing child sex trafficking. And so generally our response is across ACF, I hope you're getting the indication that we care to serve victims of all forms of trafficking, so whether foreign national, U.S. citizen, or lawful permanent resident, victim of sex trafficking or labor trafficking, adults and children, men and women, we are our programs work to collectively serve victims of all forms of trafficking. And then in specific relation to the bills that were passed in the House or any other bills that may be introduced in the House or Senate, ACF is not a legislative body, and so what we do is execute the authorities that we have in enacted legislation. And so we can't comment on the nature of the suite of bills that were passed recently. So I'll just kind of leave it at that. But if you are interested in learning more about the legislative side, please contact your member of Congress with any specific questions that you may have. The next question, are these funds in addition, so the FY16 funds in the budget, in addition to the current funding available to nonprofit organizations working in the anti-trafficking arena?
So this is Michelle from ACF Budget, and again, I'll just generally say that like all programs in the federal government that receive their funding through the annual appropriations process, you just have to wait to get the appropriations bill passed, which is never done in a timely manner, but before you know the dollar value of the appropriation. And just like in 2015, the program offices, under the guidance of Catherine, will decide once the 2016 appropriations bill has passed how it will be implemented. And that will include decisions that are along the lines of, is there enough money to fund brand new grants? Can we do continuation grants as well? And all of those decisions will be made once they're aware of the amount of funding available.
Thank you. The next question submitted is, what is being done or will be done to proactively fight the demand that fuels human trafficking? So I mentioned across the ACF, we have worked to integrate anti-trafficking efforts into various programs. We also have a HHS-wide working group that meets on a bi-monthly process or bi-monthly basis so that we can coordinate efforts with our health-related colleagues as well. But then generally at the federal level, there is the federal or the President's Interagency Task Force to Combat and Monitor Trafficking in Persons, and within that, a senior policy operating group. And one of the purposes of that group is to coordinate and collaborate across multiple federal agencies. An example of that, last January, we released the Federal Strategic Action Plan on strengthening services to victims of human trafficking in the United States. It was a plan co-chaired with the Department of Justice, Homeland Security, and here within the Department of Health and Human Services, but it involved more than a dozen federal agencies. And I start with that because the federal government, broadly speaking, addresses demand in a number of ways. So obviously there are the law enforcement efforts on the prosecution end as well. And in regards to demand related to labor trafficking, there's a executive order on preventing human trafficking within federal contracting and federal supply chains, and there are regulations coming out on that as well. And so both for sex trafficking and labor trafficking, the federal government is looking at it from a comprehensive perspective, prosecution, prevention, protection. And in bringing it back to the Administration for Children and Families, in our efforts to raise public awareness and working with faith-based and community-based organizations, we want to be sending out a comprehensive message, and we need to address the issues of human trafficking from multiple perspectives. Are there any other program offices that wanted to add to this question? Okay. So speaking of a comprehensive approach, the next question is what funding will be distributed for prevention programming related to anti-trafficking efforts? And first I'll turn it over to the Children's Bureau.
Well, as I mentioned, currently our nine grantees do have prevention components of their grant. So that'll help with the prevention part. And then with any funding that we may get from the FY16 budget, we hope to use that for prevention efforts as well. And I'll discuss that in a little bit later in a question.
Thank you, Rosie. And then on to the Family Youth Services Bureau.
Okay, sure. Thank you, Catherine. Within the Family the Youth Services Bureau, we have a runaway and homeless youth program. So within that program, they have several grantees nationwide who have been working to address trafficking prior to the actual physical trafficking funding. So those grantees continue to work with both Catherine's team, with physical leadership as well, to make sure that these young people have awareness in trafficking.
Great. Thank you, Carol. Next question, what amount of funding is allocated for housing? And in prior fiscal years, 14 and 15, the President's budget reflected a proposal for demonstration projects around housing. The FY16 budget does not include a specific allocation for housing, but we are trying to integrate housing efforts within our comprehensive case management and victim service programs. For example, through the ORR victim service programs, foreign national victims have access to housing, and the demonstration projects that Carol mentioned through the Family Youth Services Bureau, the comprehensive nature of services includes provision of housing. And then I'll turn it over in case FSB has, or Children's Bureau wants to add anything else to that.
This is Rosie. I'm not sure if I have anything to add.
Okay.
This is Catherine. We do have a grant cluster called supportive housing, but it's not focused on trafficking. It's supportive housing for families who are in the child welfare system or at risk of being in the child welfare system due to homelessness or inadequate housing. Mm-hmm. But trafficking is not necessarily a focus.
Okay. So the next question is, what are the funding opportunities to serve both domestic and foreign-born survivors of human trafficking? I'll first turn it over to the Family Youth Services Bureau.
Okay, thanks, Catherine. With the current funding through FSB for the comprehensive case management, that is just targeting domestic victims, which we deem as either U.S. citizens or LPRs. However, it's very important that no victim gets turned away. So the current three grantees do have protocols in place to first get baseline data. So then once it's been determined that a victim may not be eligible, then they refer out to either ORR or Office for Victims of Crime if they are a foreign-born victim.
Great. And then to the Office of Refugee Resettlement.
So currently, the Office of Refugee Resettlement Anti-Trafficking Program funds about $5.5 million for direct assistance and comprehensive case management for foreign victims of trafficking in the United States. We are putting out a funding opportunity announcement this year to continue and to issue new grants for another 3 years. The case management and services are pretty flexible, so whatever the particular needs of an individual person are, those are what they receive assistance about. We don't target funds towards any particular category.
And I think the Children's Bureau, it will probably incorporate their response in a later question that is coming up. And then the few other things I would want to mention is the Department of Justice Office for Victims of Crime. They also provide federal grant opportunities to serve both domestic and foreign-born victims and survivors of trafficking. And then there's also a lot that the Administration for Children and Families does outside of the dedicated trafficking programming. For example, runaway homeless youth programs may be working with victims of trafficking through their day-to-day work, as well as domestic violence programs. I mentioned the Administration for Native Americans. And so across our multiple systems, we may be coming across and working with survivors of trafficking. And so just wanted to put that out there as well. All right, the next question, what kinds of anti-trafficking research is going on, and how are these various streams of information connected, analyzed, and findings distributed? While we don't have our Office for Planning, Research, and Evaluation on the budget briefing call today, that is the part of the Administration for Children and Families leading our research and evaluation data efforts. But specific to anti-trafficking programs, each of our anti-trafficking grantees report data and there's an evaluation plan for those grants. And across the federal government, There are action items in the Federal Strategic Action Plan on how we are planning to strengthen data collection, research, and evaluation efforts. So I encourage stakeholders on the call to reference that document for specific action items on coordinating across these efforts. Okay, so next question. What procedures are being put in place to ensure that all state organizations have the personnel in place to mobilize and respond to trafficking within child welfare systems? And I will turn that over to the Children's Bureau.
So we are still having internal discussions about how to best support states, especially child welfare agencies, in implementing components of the Preventing Sex Trafficking and Strengthening Families Act for this year. However, if we do get additional funding in FY 2016, we hope to fund grant clusters focused on prevention, so those that would develop strategies to identify children and youth who are in care that may be at risk of becoming trafficking victims, and then developing strategies to prevent those children and youth in becoming victims of trafficking. And then we also want to put a focus on service grants that would focus on providing comprehensive services to children and youth who have already been trafficked and are in the care of the child welfare system. And then we would like to use some funding to evaluate the grantees, build capacity of the child welfare field, and then hopefully incorporate some data collection research. And I'm not sure, Catherine, if you have anything else to add.
I think just the caveat to echo Michelle, we have no idea if we're going to get this money or not, so I don't want, like Michelle was saying, these are our ideas that we've put forward, but we just don't know if any of this will actually happen because we don't know what the funding situation is. But there, so just consider them ideas.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question. Are small communities able to apply for anti-trafficking program funding? And I'll turn that over to Office of Refugee Resettlement.
We do have in the regional program, two of our programs are national. The National Human Trafficking Resource Center functions as a call center for all the U.S. and the territories. And our victim assistance program, we give to larger organizations that have the ability to subcontract with organizations throughout the U.S. So indirectly, they can benefit from the federal grants or be assisted, but that wouldn't work for direct assistance. And then we also, our third program is the regional program, and we do make awards to various entities throughout the country. We don't have national coverage, but in those locations, they are going to focus on a comprehensive response to trafficking, except for victim assistance. So they do the training and technical assistance, they do public awareness, they do direct outreach, and they also lead or actively support a local coalition, which can be a local law enforcement task force, to help bring together the various, to help coordinate a multidisciplinary approach and response to trafficking in their communities. And that can be broader than the foreign assistance to foreign victims. The coalitions often should work on both all forms of trafficking to all populations, labor and sex trafficking, foreign and domestic, adults and minors.
Okay, and do any of the other program offices want to respond to this question? I think we've covered it in the previous questions in some way. So the final question that we have for the pre-submitted question portion of today's call, what efforts are underway to train healthcare providers, educators, and parents on human trafficking? And first I'll turn it back over to Office of Refugee Resettlement. Efforts to train healthcare providers, educators, parents, or the community at large on.
I'm sorry. So, again, regional programs, we do this primarily indirectly through our grantees. We have the National Human Trafficking Resource Center, which has online training materials and documents, PowerPoints. You can do interactive or live training or as well as just get general materials. They respond to calls as well. The Trafficking Resource Center website is www.traffickingresourcecenter.com. And then also our grantees do a lot of training and technical assistance in their areas to those requests, and they also try to seek out potential intermediaries who could identify victims of trafficking. And it will often depend entirely on the region in which they are located. If they're largely in an agricultural region, then they might focus on agricultural outreach and migrant workers, those who are assisting. If they're in an urban area, they might be focused on different sectors or locations just within that geographic area. So that's primarily, we have done in the past some webinars, and those are all saved on the NHTRC website under trainings.
Thank you. I'm turning it over to Michelle.
All right. So in response to the Federal Strategic Action Plan that came out last year, which recognized healthcare providers and educators as first responders, we developed in 2014 a two-hour training called the SOAR to Health and Wellness. It stands for Stop, Observe, Ask, and Respond. And we were able to implement that with the help of a technical working group last year, and we were able to train 180 healthcare providers, very diverse healthcare providers across the country. And taking that tool, we were able to expand it by working with the Department of Education to now have a module looking at and working on training social workers, counselors, and psychologists. The work with the healthcare providers, our partner is the Office on Women's Health within HHS, as well as the Office of Minority Health, in particular Region 4. So we've trained, in terms of the educators, about 450 educators in the past month. There is interest in expanding SOAR to work with the hospitals, and so it's a plug-and-play kind of tool that can be used for many different populations. The question of how to educate parents came up when we educated these social workers and counselors, and so we're working with the National Association of Social Workers, American Psychological Association, who want to train all their members on human trafficking to talk about how to reach the parents and get into the schools, maybe through the PTA. So all this is in progress, but we started with the healthcare professionals and quickly expanded to educators.
And then Rochelle mentioned the Federal Strategic Action Plan, and there are a number of action items in there of how cross-federal agencies will be coordinating and collaborating on training efforts for targeted communities or providers and educators. And so I would reference that for for priority areas of collaboration within federal anti-trafficking efforts. And then, of course, the ACF, our 10 regional offices, are engaged on a regular basis with the local community to provide training and connect community members and organizations with each other. And so if you are not yet familiar with who your regional points of contact are on human trafficking, please be in touch with us. And that is also available on the ACF website, which is acf.hhs.gov. So that exhausts all our pre-submitted questions. Operator, at this time we will open up the lines for open questions.
Sure. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please make sure you unmute your line, press star 1, record your first and last name when prompted. If you need to withdraw the question, you can press star 2. Once again, in order to ask a question, please press star 1. Give us one moment, please, for any questions to show in queue. Our first question comes from Eliza Riok. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Eliza Riok with Shared Hope International. I just had a couple of follow-up questions to some comments made. One, when it comes to appropriation specifically for Native American programs, I was wondering, you said that they could apply
starting in 2014, but have there actually been any appropriations to those communities specifically to serve trafficking victims? And then my second question, in regards to the Federal Strategic Action Plan and some of the components and priorities, is there going to be any updates on what goals have been reached based on the timeline proposed? Because I know we're several years into it at this point. Thank you.
Okay. Well, we don't have a representative from the Administration for Native Americans here, but as far as I know, for their FY14 funding cycle, there have not been grants that have been funded to serve anti-trafficking programming. That may be due to a number of issues, whether the proposals are not coming in on specifically to serve victims of trafficking, or maybe because it was a newer population added to the mix of different issue areas that communities could apply for. And so we're trying to help get the word out to the anti-trafficking community that this is available. And it is part of the Social and Economic Development Strategies grant, which serves a wide range of community issues that the communities are facing. And so there isn't specific appropriations just on trafficking within Native American communities.
All right. Great, that's helpful.
And then in regards to the Federal Strategic Action Plan, as referenced in the version or the final plan that came out this past or in January 2014, we will be reporting later this year on progress for fiscal year 13 and 14 activities. So please keep an eye out for that, and as soon as we have more information, we'll share it with our stakeholders.
Excellent. Thanks.
Next, we have Warren Yoder. Your line is now open.
Yes, this is Warren Yoder from the Public Policy Center of Mississippi. Is there training available for law enforcement, and is DOJ taking the lead on that?
The Department of Justice has multiple programming for training for law enforcement through their different divisions, and so we would encourage you to visit the website for the Office for Victims of Crime, and then I'll kind of defer to Maggie from ORR in terms of law enforcement training that you may be familiar with or adding more to DOJ efforts.
Hi. What I've heard about is the Department of Homeland Security through the Blue Campaign has taken on as a mission to help not just train federal law enforcement but also state and local law enforcement. And they would probably have more information about the availability of, and location of trainings or how to access trainings through the Blue Campaign website, which you can just Google Blue Campaign and that should take you there. There are other trainings, I think, but I'm less familiar with it. I know there's a Federal Law Enforcement Training Center, but I don't know how much they open that up to state and local law enforcement agencies.
And then just going back to the Office for Victims of Crime, they earlier this year, or late last year, I think it was, or maybe it was earlier this year, they released an updated e-guide for training task forces, including law enforcement representatives, and that is also available online if you visit their website.
Thanks.
The next question comes from Melinda Chivinga. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. This is Melinda out in Seattle. How are y'all? I just was curious. I hadn't heard of the SOAR curriculum. Is that available for use in communities, or how do you get access to that?
It will be available. We just did the pilot in September and just received the final report this month. So it's going through clearance, and you can find information about it on the ACF website, In Trafficking. And we're just starting our conversations with stakeholders. We will be working to add CE credits to to it in 2015, and so it's just the efforts making it better and broader.
Right. So it would get out to teachers as well eventually.
Yes, it would get out to teachers eventually. We have not been approached by teachers for it. We were approached by the social workers and psychologists first. But as we were training them, they said, what about the American Counselors Association and what about our students? So we want to take the have the lead come from the Department of Education of how to reach that audience.
And speaking of Department of Education, they also recently released a guide for schools on human trafficking, which is available online as well. And if you can't find
at DOE?
Yeah, at Department of Education. If you can't find it, just be in touch with us and we'll send the links around. Or actually what we'll do is, as a follow-up to this briefing call, we'll provide links to the registered participants for some of these federal materials that we've been referencing through the call.
So that tool is called Human Trafficking in America Schools. And we, in fact, we used that very fresh tool to train those psychologists and social workers in New York. It has a protocol on page 10 that's phenomenal. So we want to promote that.
That's great. Can I just ask one quick question also from Bill Bentley's shop? Bill, will we be continuing to try to get all the runaway and homeless youth programs trained and or somehow certified in being able to serve victims of trafficking through RITAC, do you know?
Yes. As a matter of fact, we gave RITAC some additional funds this past fiscal year to provide training to RHY programs related to anti-trafficking activities and how best to work with this population.
Right, right. I just want to make sure that I don't know if we're going to have any kind of mandatory training for the basic centers and outreach and TLP, but I think it would, and teen parents too, I think it would be important as we try to get these funds used in the most effective and efficient way using our existing residential program would be helpful, especially if we can build good, solid relationships with law enforcement moving forward. And also, someone needs to look at, with all of you sitting around there, the issues that we have with actually housing these young people in state. Because with all the money we get, even as it comes out, there are a number of very, very significant barriers to putting these kids in housing, whether it's foster care or emergency shelters. And so I would love to have a call to talk about some of that, some systems work nationally. So thank you.
You're welcome. And we can certainly set up a separate call to have that conversation. That's something Carol can work on with Chris.
This is Carol Bush from CB. I also want to follow up on Bill's response to your question, Melinda, as far as the grantees for the Runaway Center and Homeless Youth Program through RITAC, our Training NTA Center, for those who don't know on the call. There's a program that was started last year called HTR3, which stands for Human which stands for Human Trafficking, Recognize, Respond, and Respect. So that's a way for grantees also to get training. But as far as having an actual requirement through the funding announcement, that has not been done.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Reverend Dr. Cheryl Anthony. Your line is now open.
Hi, good afternoon. I am Reverend Anthony, and I'm a faith leader here in New York City. And of course, this weekend, our city is full of people coming for the NBA All-Star Game. And so we are having a sex trafficking nightmare here in our city as we speak on this call. But my question is this. I heard Rosie Gomez say that there were 9 grantees, and I know that New York was not listed as one. Is there any specific programs and training for the faith community here in New York, and specifically looking at how trafficking is going from one borough to another borough and one housing development to another?
Well, this is Rosie, and I would have to do some research about New York and definitely get back to you. I'd also advise you, so the faith-based organization, part of the nine grantees, is Healing Place Serve in Louisiana, and I'm sure they would be happy to talk with you about some of the work that they're doing.
That would be great. Thank you.
Go ahead, Carol.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. Responding also to your question, in regards to outreach for the faith-based community in New York, we do have a regional office who's based in New York who's doing outreach for human trafficking. So you may want to contact the regional office representative, and her name is Bronya Ashford, and I'll give you her own.
Oh, we'll send it in the follow-up email.
Okay.
So that everyone has their respective regional liaisons.
Okay.
Thank you. I just wanted to add that the anti-trafficking office in ORR has a grantee sanctuary for families in New York that is doing the Rescue and Restore program there. While they primarily have a focus on the identification and referral of for assistance of foreign victims of trafficking, they are available to provide training or may be able to direct you to some of their partners who can assist in doing outreach to faith-based communities about sex trafficking in New York, especially during events which would lead to a higher incidence. And the grantees are on our website with their contact information, so that will be part of the follow-up email.
Thank you.
Next is Bob Coulson. Your line is now open.
Hi, this is Bob Coulson from Colorado. First, I want to thank ORR for putting out free marketing materials on human trafficking. That's very useful. The question I have is there any consideration or thought around funding or providing technical assistance for electronic reporting requirements for runaways from placement to law enforcement and to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children? Specifically, I'm thinking about, is there interoperability with our current state SACWIS systems in making that reporting smooth as far as reporting missing kids and then reporting when they do return? So is there any funding being set aside for technical assistance for that kind of electronic reporting?
So for that, I'll first defer that to Children's Bureau because there's some overlap in that question with the preventing sex trafficking.
Yeah, and this is Catherine. You know, we have a whole division within the Children's Bureau that handles all the data systems, including SACWIS. So I don't know the answer to that. But, you know, when we get the list of questions together, I can certainly bring that back to our data team.
Thank you very much.
There are provisions in the Preventing Sex Trafficking and Strengthening Families Act and language in there, at least when it comes to child welfare responses to certain forms of child trafficking or child trafficking to report to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and there are references in there on some data collection within AVCARS, but of course where the Children's Bureau is in the process of providing guidance on implementing that act. And so you may be interested in that legislation as well.
That's where I was getting it from. And my understanding, only Florida has electronic reporting, and they did that on their own. So I was just looking to see if there's any potential funding to support electronic reporting. That's okay. It sounds like that hasn't been worked out yet.
Next is Dr. Katarina Rosenblatt. Your line is now open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, in regards to the school outreach initiative that you mentioned, if there was opportunity for survivor voices, if that was incorporated into that. Because I experienced trafficking in my public school and wrote a story about it in my book, Stolen. And I find that's very effective for children who have experienced this to hear survivor voices. And then next, how would a small nonprofit like ours, There Is Hope For Me, be able to take part in that. Thank you.
Louder voices are critical for all populations, in my opinion. That's what we heard with the healthcare professionals. For the SOAR that we launched last year, we used audio and video of survivors, and our feedback was that going forward, we need to make sure we have in-person survivor voices as well.
Mm-hmm.
We had that when we were trained in Atlanta last month. We had a survivor voice as well, but we did not have it in New York City. We hear you clearly, and as we are working with the Department of Justice, which has a database of survivors who are available for public speaking and events, we're collecting names and pushing that information to Department of Justice, OVC. So I think that going forward, you'll see a lot more survivor activity in our SOAR efforts, and also our technical working groups that will be continuing their work on SOAR and other efforts. So everything we're doing is survivor-informed, and now we are knowing it needs to be more in person as well for every training.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very effective. I've done that in Miami-Dade County school systems, and we've helped a lot of children. I'd love to be part of that, if that's a possibility. I am on the OVC Speakers Bureau. Is that the same one you're talking about?
Exactly.
Okay.
You're in the right place, because we were seeing, for example, our Region 3 did a couple of trainings in Baltimore and D.C., and they used that OVC to push out the request and got a lot of respondents. So,
Great. And then there needs to be follow-up with law enforcement. Is that component included in that as well?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question at this time, please unmute your line, press star 1, record your first and last name when prompted. Give us one moment, please, for any more questions. And we have no further questions at this time. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. We do have one that looks like it may come in. We have a question from Dean Duncan. Your line is now open.
Great. Thank you. I'd like some advice on what are the options for funding for safe and secure housing, say for a term of 18 to 24 months for youth who are victims of trafficking who were not currently in foster care and can't be found as victims of maltreatment because they are not abused or neglected by their parents or caretakers.
Okay. I'll hand that over to FSBI or Family Youth Services Bureau.
Okay. Hi, everyone. This is Carol Bush. With the pending funding announcement, one possible option is a housing option, but we're still working out the funding for that. So that may come into place for the announcement coming out in the fall, but I'm not quite sure yet. And Bill Bentley, feel free to jump in on that question as well.
I know, Carol. I think you stated clearly kind of where we are at this point.
Any other questions?
There are no further questions.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. In closing, what we'll do as a follow-up is send an email listing out a number of the resources that we had referenced through the call. We'll also be providing a recording of this call, posting it online in case you have any colleagues who missed the briefing and wanted to hear a recording of it. And one of the other announcements that I would want to make is in January, the Department of Health and Human Services, in partnership with the Department of Education and President Lincoln's Cottage, announced a What I Would Miss
social media awareness campaign targeted for high school students, and that campaign is in the form of a competition, which comes to a close at the end of this month, February 27th. We will send out a link to that in this follow-up email, but given that it's President's Day weekend, a great way if you have a high school person, a student in your life or in your organization, they may want to participate in that competition. And any other final thoughts from colleagues from other programs or the budget office? Okay, so we'll send out this email. Thank you to all the partners across ACF and to the community organizations on the call, and have a great long weekend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you for joining. This now concludes today's conference. All lines may disconnect at this time.